grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the text for today's message was the gospel lesson, the very familiar parable that we call the parable of the prodigal son. And just to set the stage for this in Luke 15, the Pharisees and the scribes are standing amongst the crowd listening to Jesus teach. And he tells a series of three parables about forgiveness. And in each one, he keeps upping the ante about the overall effect. The first one is losing one sheep out of 100. Certainly you can forgive that, can't you? And then losing one coin out of 10. Well, that's certainly a bigger percentage. Can't you forgive that? Then he moves on to this one. Can you forgive this? I think this is one of the parables, the parable of the prodigal son, that most people can generally tell the entire story. And one of the things that always used to get me many years ago is, why did the good boy get nothing and the bad boy got everything? Because I'm one of those law and order kind of guys. I just didn't like that. Especially since the older brother, which was me, was the good one. Not me, the older one in the parable. Oh, good heavens, no, Larry. But the parable is not about necessarily the two sons. It's really about the father, but you have to understand the two sons first. Yes, we say that the youngest son was lost because of what he does, but the oldest son was just as lost. But we're going to look at the younger one first. This is sort of one of those kids that I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to find my own way in the world. You know, if I hurt a few people along the way, what does it really matter? You know, when he asks his father for half of all the possessions, he's not really thinking about the consequences of it. After all, do most young people actually think about the consequences before they do stuff? Do most of us older ones either? Sometimes not. All right? The youngest son certainly didn't think about what he was desiring to do with all this wealth. He didn't think about what his departure would mean for everybody there. He really didn't think about what it meant in that culture to say, I want my inheritance now. What he was basically saying is, Father, I want you dead. Give it to me now. He certainly didn't think about the brother who was going to have to take care of the work there once he was gone. He didn't think he had any responsibilities. Hey, I can take half this wealth, I can go off, I can do whatever I want, and there's no consequences for it. He kind of forgot some of those wise things that have been said. You can't make foolish choices and achieve the fruits of the wise ones. Or I like this one, you can't sow wild oats and grow sweet corn. Isn't that the truth? Jesus said this another way, but you can't go the way of the world and the way of God at the same time. And you can't do wrong and be right. Oh, that can get me going on about heroes in today's movies. They're just as bad as the bad guys. Do you ever notice that? But somehow in the movies, if you do enough wrong, you're right. Do you see why you stick to John Wayne? Anyway. But how many of us, after doing something, have thought, you know, if I would have thought about it, I wouldn't have said that. Or if I would have thought about it, I wouldn't have done that. Or if I would have thought about it, I wouldn't have gone to that place first. What, am I giving the honest one? Yeah. Now, the older brother, he's a little more won't, respectable. He likes to conform to the normal, the norms or the morals of that day. He sort of looked at his salvation as one of those things I earned because I've got the approval of other people. Kind of that law and order kind of guy. You know, Father, I've done all these things for you. Why don't I get it? Now, here's a great contrast. You realize you've got an irresponsible younger son and the outwardly more responsible older son. How do you have two boys grow up in the same family and turn out radically different? Did you ever ask that about your own kids? Well, guess what? It's in the Bible, too. All right. Both of them grew up in the same household. Both of them kind of head off in different directions. Now, we don't know a lot about the older son, but I sort of imagine he's one of those overachievers. You ever go to school with one of those? Man, I used to dislike those people in math class. Oh, they didn't introduce a new subject, and suddenly they got it all. They're up to advanced calculus, and I'm sitting there going, now, how do I add three columns of numbers? You ever had any of those in school, those really bad overachievers? Oh, they're in band, and now you're learning to play some little simple thing, and they're busting out Beethoven's Fifth. That's what the oldest son sort of reminds me of. I think by two, he'd already potty trained himself and learned his Hebrew ABCs. You know, by three, he was already doing chores on the farm. You know, by five, he was already doing the work of a full man. You know, eight, running a plow all by himself. By age 12, he's done his bar mitzvah, learned the entire Torah, first five books of Moses, word for word. By the way, he's now managing the whole farm himself. He just sort of strikes me as that kind of a guy. All right? And he's certainly not happy with the younger son. Because later on in the parable, when he hears the music and stuff going on, he comes in from the field, and you just know he's not happy when he hears that all this is for that lousy, no good for nothing younger son. When the father comes outside, he's trying to get him to come in. That's when you really see the oldest son's true heart. He never talked back to his father, perhaps, before this, but he sure does then. I don't know if that came across in the way that I read the gospel lesson, but he's snapping back at his father. He had this strong work ethic, but he thought that's what made him important. He's the guy who always played by the rules, and he expects others to do it. Because by obeying the rules, then, everybody's going to love and respect you. Now, does the older son have any reason to be mad? Well, yeah. Let's see, the youngest one made a really not mistake, because mistake to me is sort of an accidental, I didn't sort of intend it. No, he actually planned to go out there and blow all this money on this type of living. He had totally disgraced the family name, which, by the way, is a much bigger deal then than it is now. You know, you can have two sons in the family, and one go out and rob banks, and the other one says, well, you know, that's my brother, that's not me. Everybody says, oh, no, remember, you're not your brother, it's okay. See, in this society, if one of them goes bad, the whole family's now bad. So he's disgraced the entire family. And by feeding the pigs, he's forgotten his heritage as a Jew. And in their thinking, when you live poorly like this, and then were destitute, you were getting what you truly deserved. So then the oldest son says to the father, behold, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed a commandment of yours, but you never gave me a goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But with this, I love how this is worded, but this, all right, your son. Come on, guys, when you're married and when the kid screws up, that's your son. You take care of him. All right, that just looked up on the son. This, he's not even referring to this human being. This, your son came, who had devoured your living with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him. Maybe it's just the father in me, but I think I would have reared back about that point. All right? But remember, the father in this parable is really God acting, and certainly not us human beings, because the father responds, sons, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But it was appropriate to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That's one of those parables where Jesus just drops right at that point, and you don't know what happens next. But I would kind of like to entitle this sermon, Don't Miss the Party. How many times in life do we let attitudes or thoughts rob us of what God intended for us? Anger is one of the quickest ways to ignore God's gifts, God's blessings. We miss out on the party because of our anger. We're so mad at something, we just can't get beyond it. Or jealousy. Remember, jealousy is one of the roots of that original sin. Don't you want something somebody else has? I gotta have it. I focus too much on what somebody has or what they're receiving. You want to start trouble in the workplace? Have somebody find out that they got a bigger raise than somebody else. Why do you think they have it now with so many workplaces? Everybody's got to be paid a certain amount based on time in rather than merit. Why are they getting 50 cents more an hour than me? Nah, you've never seen that. They end up robbing themselves of so much joy in life. See, jealousy brings strife, it brings disunity, and ultimately rebellion. And then it brings something else that robs us so much of what God intended for life, bitterness. I heard a great analogy for what bitterness is. Did you ever try to hold a beach ball under the water? You know, as a kid, you do that for hours. And what happens to the beach ball every time you shove it under the water? Yeah, how many times you get it right in the face? What? Because after all, if you hold it down just like this, you can do it, right? And then you know where it comes. I remember getting a bloody nose once doing that. But that's what bitterness is. You keep trying to push it down, but it is going to come up and whack you right in the face. Bitterness starts out with something small, but sort of burrows in and just grows and grows. Bitterness then leads to this thing. Somebody has offended me. They planned it. They meant it. They want to hurt me. Do you notice how that starts to rob you of the joy that God gave us in life? The older brother also had a tremendous amount of resentment. Didn't anybody ever notice how much I did around here? Why I was never rewarded? I don't know if I wanted you to go, but hey, that's beside the point. Do you realize what came out of his mouth that day was not something that just popped in? That's something that had been sitting back there percolating. So how do you think that was affecting the relationship between him and his father? It had been an irritant for a long time. You know, sometimes even with our own relationship with God, we get resentful. God, why is somebody else having this, and they've done this, and I've done all this for you? All right, we start playing that game, and we get resentful or angry at God. In this parable, the older brother, that was the church leaders. Outwardly, great people. Absolute pillars of the community. All right? But inwardly, they were filled with anger, jealousy, and resentment. They missed the grace that the Father showed. Now, did the church leaders deserve any better because of the lives they had led? No. Hey, are you all awake this morning? See, what you got to do is come to adult Bible study at 9 and have 3 cups of coffee that I do, and you too can have this energy. All right? They didn't deserve anything better because of the lifestyles they led. Okay? The oldest son, this parable, was filled with just as much sin as the younger one, but all the older brother's sins were inward. He didn't deserve any of the things he was claiming. Oh yeah, he didn't go off to a faraway land and waste everything, but his heart was far away from where it needed to be. Both of the brothers were in need of forgiveness. One of them came to the party because he understood that grace and forgiveness could only come from the Father. And we can only, if this had been a true story, we would pray that the older one didn't miss the party. The question is, do you miss the party? So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.